We ask about solar projects in Wisconsin and how they will weather soaring inflation and material shortages. It's the morning show. Glad to have you here. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This comes as utilities are partnering with companies that want to bring more renewables to the grid to achieve net zero carbon emissions by 2050. That's in line with the goal of the Evers administration. Join in on solar farms in your area, your residential rooftop solar arrays as well. Takeaways, what to know, 800-642-1234. Michael Vickerman is Policy Director for Renew Wisconsin. That nonprofit focuses on policies and programs that expand solar and wind power, biogas, hydropower, heat pumps, and electric vehicles. Michael, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good morning. So what are you hearing? How delayed are the utilities in Wisconsin with their solar projects at the moment due to the economic headwinds here?
Thank you. So, yes, a couple weeks ago, several Wisconsin utilities announced delays in the construction of several solar farms, which received approval from the Public Service Commission. About a half dozen or so are affected by what you call the economic headwinds, principally bottlenecks in shipping and logistics, and more recently, the effects of a federal trade investigation over the sourcing of solar panels coming from Southeast Asia. It's a measure of how global the solar marketplace is, including the equipment sourcing and manufacturing, that 80% of the solar panels that are imported to the United States come from four Southeast Asian countries: Cambodia, Vietnam, Thailand, and Malaysia. And the investigation, for a while at least, basically stanched the flow of solar panels from those countries into the United States. Now, in the last month, the Biden administration stepped in and announced that there would not be any punitive tariffs assessed on any panels that come from those four countries, at least for the next 2 years. So we may see some movement again, but there have been COVID-related constraints and bottlenecks elsewhere in the overall manufacturing, shipping, delivery, and construction of these projects. And it looks like that at least a half a dozen of these projects are going to be delayed 12 to 18 months from their original projected start date.
Okay, so that's pretty considerable. And last year was a very good one for the solar expansion, for solar projects. What does that mean for the growth of solar in our state and the growth of solar farms?
Well, I tend to look at this situation more as a hiccup than a malady or something that requires more more intervention on the part of policymakers. If the trade investigation concludes by the end of August that there was no illegal trade practices occurring, that would go a long way towards smoothing out the supply chain. It has to be remembered, though, that and this is true with many other industries, that the way the solar market is organized, it depends on a nearly constant demand and throughput of materials. And if there are any disruptions, perturbations in that flow, it can back things up a long time. We have as well, not just simply material shortages, but also labor shortages. Mm. Most of the contractors that I spoke with at the energy fair 2 weeks ago said that they're the biggest problem that they see for themselves and is meeting the demand for work with more installers, more people on the ground or on the rooftops, installing systems for customers.
I'm going to pause here and reintroduce you, Michael Vickerman, Policy Director of Renew Wisconsin, as we talk about solar power in Wisconsin, the global supply chain disruptions that he sees. You can join in on solar and your experience as perhaps you get residential solar installed this summer. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Michael, you said there that, you know, these projects really depend on a smooth throughput of material. And we've seen in other industries where, you know, chip shortages have really upended supply chains to delivering vehicles, for instance. Is there something specific here in the materials being used that are just not coming through for solar arrays and these solar projects?
Well, the thing that makes solar power go are the panels themselves. Mm. And it's that particular component that has been the most disrupted. You did mention inflationary pressures across the spectrum, and that's had an effect too, although less so with solar power than with other industries. I mean, there's a fair amount of steel that goes into a solar farm. Let's not forget, when I say solar farm, I'm talking about a power plant here. Mm-hmm. And so that contributes to the cost of the project, but it contributes to the cost of everything that's built with steel. And so all other kinds of power plants would be affected too, as well as other items that require steel. The situation is we're not used to seeing these kind of disruptions and inflationary pressures with in the solar market for years and years and years. The price trend has been downward, but it appears we've hit rock bottom. There's been a spike in the last 2 years, principally caused by COVID-related constraints. Basically the shutdown of manufacturing in parts of China. Mm-hmm. But we also see signs that it's slowly working through. And another point I would like to make is that the constraints have affected the larger projects, the solar power plants, if you will, more so than the smaller scale solar installations, which would include small solar farms and what we call rooftop solar, or customer-sited solar.
That's what I wanted to ask you there. I mean, how are these challenges and market delays affecting residential rooftop solar projects?
At this point, not significantly.
Okay.
In fact, it certainly hasn't affected demand for rooftop solar. If anything, that's increasing. There have been spot shortages here and there of various components, but not to the same extent that we're seeing with the larger projects.
Michael Vickerman heads up policy for Renew Wisconsin as we get an update on solar power projects in our state and what these economic headwinds mean for the timeline and goals set for reducing carbon emissions. Join in on the cost, the projects, how you see solar in Wisconsin's future energy mix, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show. Michael Vickerman here on the Ideas Network. Checking in on challenges facing solar projects in our state here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Alliant Energy set to begin construction on 6 new solar projects in central Wisconsin. One example of a project in the works. There is a pending solar boom in Rust Belt states. That's according to S&P Global Market Intelligence. Its report released Wednesday said six states, including Wisconsin, have recorded increasingly ambitious solar pipelines, and they credit corporate interest on renewables. Join in on the pipeline for solar, how you see it, 800-642-1234. Michael Vickerman is Policy Director of Renew Wisconsin with us for about nine more minutes. Michael, you really brought us into the global scope right away to this conversation, and acknowledging Cambodia and Malaysia, Thailand, Vietnam, producing really about 80% of solar panels imported by the U.S. Last month, President Biden waiving tariffs on U.S. solar imports from all four countries. What does this change in terms of cost and supply cost?
That's a good question, and I don't know if I have a completely settled answer for that. My response would be that solar power will always, if the inflationary pressures that we're seeing elsewhere will be understated with solar, that solar will become even more of a bargain in the future relative to other energy sources than what is the case today. I want to call attention to the fact that the principal energy source for electric generation in the United States now is natural gas in most parts of the country. And natural gas's share of the generation mix is increasing, including in the state of Wisconsin. And the price of gas has more than doubled in the last 12 months. And this is largely attributable to the fact that U.S. Gas producers are now serving a global marketplace. It's suddenly the number of customers out there has increased by a couple orders of magnitude as gas is being shipped to Europe, Asia, and other distant markets. And that is the principal inflationary driving force in the generation of electricity today. Coming back to solar, it's important to remember that the fuel is free. Inflationary pressures can affect the price of steel, or the cost of labor in the construction of a solar project, but the fuel itself will always remain free. And so with that, and that's also true with wind power and hydropower, that salient fact will put solar power in a very strong competitive position going forward.
What is the situation with the debate over whether third-party financing is legal under state law? What's going on there?
Very, very good question. Wisconsin is one of maybe 20 states that either doesn't have a firm policy or bright line kind of policy on third-party financing of solar systems. Other states in the Midwest that allow that include Michigan and Illinois and Iowa. So what this means basically is that the system, the installation you put on your house or in your yard, in many states, it's okay if a third party owns it. Instead of yourself. Mm-hmm. The utilities in Wisconsin contend that the law requires the property owner to own the system. We don't see that in the law. So this is in the last month, a couple of petitions were submitted to the Public Service Commission, the regulatory agency here in Wisconsin, to review the law and to affirm that customers have an affirmative right to electricity produced for themselves from systems on their property, regardless of who owns them. So the debate hinges on the definition of a public utility, and it's our position that if you're building a system just for one person, or a group, a defined group of people on in one property, that does not make the owner of that solar system a public utility. And that's what the Public Service Commission will decide on, hopefully, later this fall. It's not, they haven't disclosed whether they're going to accept the petitions or not. We'll find out later this month whether whether that's the case, in which case this will become a very, very high profile issue.
I just want to jump in here because Republican State Senator Rob Coles of Green Bay, he had that bill last year clarifying third party financing. It didn't advance, but he said you can finance anything from a new water heater to energy efficient windows to help reduce your energy consumption. And he said there's no reason you shouldn't be able to do the same to generate your own electricity. So what do you think is holding the PSC back, the Public Service Commission back on this matter, or the legislature for that matter?
There have been several petitions submitted in the past, and they were rejected by the Public Service Commission. The commission of several years ago basically bought the utility position that any entity that sells or leases sells power or leases solar to a particular individual is a public utility. The utilities are basically circling the wagons around the imperative of protecting their generation monopolies. They're not happy when somebody else owns electric generation in the state. There is very little independently owned electric power plants in the state, and they're trying to extend that monopoly to include what goes on your rooftop or behind your meter. And we think that the law does not support the utility monopoly that deep into a customer's space. So we have an opportunity with the last time this petition this type of petition was brought forward to the commission, it was tabled on a one-to-one vote. This time around, if the commission accepts these positions, there will be three commissioners voting on the matter instead of two.
Wait to be seen. Michael Vickerman, who is policy director of Renew Wisconsin, talking about solar power infrastructure, the situation in the economy, and other issues around solar. 800-642-1234 to join in. We heard from Weldon in Fountain City, called, couldn't stay with us. Weldon wants to know, what is the future of net metering for rooftop solar? In Wisconsin, I understand, mandates net metering. So when solar customers produce more energy than they use with their panels, they sell the excess back for a credit on their energy bills. But I hear, and I think this is the but, energy companies aren't required to buy back your electricity at the retail rate. Is that right?
Mostly correct.
Mostly. Okay. Carry on.
Net metering is an important policy mechanism for small customers who have invested in solar power basically to serve themselves. But there will be times when the electricity produced by that solar system won't be completely absorbed by all the appliances and other electricity using devices in the house. Some of that flows into the grid. And what we have in Wisconsin is a patchwork series of net metering tariffs, very utility specific. They have different thresholds for how large the system can be before it's no longer eligible for net metering. There are different procedures for calculating the net. There really is no overarching policy in the state of Wisconsin. And utilities elsewhere in the country, at least some of them, have been pushing back on net metering, trying to reduce the price paid for any electricity that's exported onto their grid. Michigan now has no net metering, and we certainly don't want that to happen in Wisconsin. So right now, the Public Service Commission is looking at this issue, and either later this year or early next year, it's probably going to take another step that will engage the public in defining what sort of net metering practices we'll have for the future.
We only have a few seconds left, Michael, but of all the variables that you have just talked about, what is the most pressing thing that you're watching in the coming months?
One that we haven't talked about yet, federal tax credits.
26%.
It's 26% now. It'll drop to 22% next year, and it'll drop to zero for residential customers and beginning in 2024, and only 10% for commercial customers. There's an effort underway to extend the tax credits. It requires congressional approval. Right now, negotiations are underway between the White House, Senate Democrats, and particularly Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia. It's really important that the current tax credit structure is maintained.
Michael, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Michael Vickerman, Policy Director of Renew Wisconsin. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.